Hello, and welcome to Educators to Educators, Season 2, Episode 6, Co-Teaching in the Classroom. I'm Carrie Conover. I've spent 18 years working in education, including spending a decade as a 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. I've spent the last 4 years working in education technology and recently launched Conover Innovative Consulting. Our mission is to build bridges between educators and education companies by elevating teacher voice. Before I introduce myself, I want to take you back to about 5 or 6 years ago when I was a 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. And I want to share with you probably the most proud moment that I have had in my years as a teacher. So I was teaching 4th grade at Nettlehorst Elementary School. And I would get a lot of students in my class that were, at the time, special education students. Now they're called diverse learners. And I think we were allowed to have like 30% of our students labeled as a special education student or diverse learner. And I'll tell you that every year I pretty much maxed out on that number. And I had the most amount of students with IEPs or 504s in my class. Now, while some teachers might think, oh my goodness, that seems like a lot of work, that was very stressful, I actually absolutely loved the opportunity. And part of the reason I love that opportunity is the woman that's sitting in front of me right now, Christine Garcia. So Ms. Garcia was a special education teacher at Nettlehorst Elementary School when I was there. And one of the joys of having all these special education students in my class is that Ms. Garcia pushed into my classroom quite a bit. So I think one year she was in my classroom for multiple hours a day, probably 3 to 4 hours a day. And I could not wait to get her on Educators to Educators to talk about co-teaching, because I think we had a brilliant working relationship, and I think we were really effective as co-teachers. And so I'm so proud to introduce to all of you my dear friend, Christine Garcia. Christine, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I feel so comfortable here. This is going to be like two friends just chatting away.
Yes, it's great to see you.
You too. Mm-hmm. So, Christine, let's hear. I know you've been teaching for 21 years at the same school.
Yes.
In Chicago Public Schools.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about those 21 years.
I first started out teaching at Nettlehorst School, actually as I did my student teaching experience here. So after I student taught here, shortly after that, I got a job at Nettlehorst, and I've been here, as Carrie has said, for 21 years. I've taught every grade from K to 8. I've done push-in. I've done pull-out. I've been in every subject you can imagine. As the years went on, push-in became more of the setting that you wanted to see most of your diverse learners in. So I started to do push-in. It was a challenge at first because I was so used to the pull-out setting where I was in control and I had my students, and I set what the day would look like. And then I had to start to go into push-in, which let me a little bit more out of my comfort zone. But it was an experience that I continue, an experience that I hope to always continue.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's say you're not a teacher and you're listening to this podcast, or you're just learning, you know, maybe a student teacher. What is push-in and pull-out? Can you explain what the difference is?
Sure. In a pull-out setting, if you are a diverse learner, a pull-out setting is that you would go to a resource classroom with a diverse learner teacher, and you would receive support in whatever subject areas your IEP required. So some students would go off for reading, some go off for writing, and vice versa. And for push-in, it's the same thing. If the IEP states that the student should receive services in a general education classroom with special education support, then you would go into a push-in setting for the exact, it could be any subject.
Great, that's a really good explanation. So as I was stating earlier, as a general classroom teacher, you have a certain amount of students. So let's say you have 30 students in your classroom. And the law states that 30% of those students could have an IEP. And they do that, right, to keep the classroom very balanced and diverse.
Correct.
Okay. And so a lot of times I would hit that max of 30%. And the reason was is If a student needed a lot of push-in minutes, according to their IEP, and needed a teacher in there, they would tend to put those students all in one class so that they could maximize the time of a diverse learning teacher. Is that correct?
Exactly. So that the diverse learner teacher would then just push into, let's say they were in fifth grade for reading, then the diverse learner teacher would push into that fifth grade classroom and service all the students at one time.
So what happens sometimes to teachers, special education teachers, who are now asked to push into a classroom? What does that relationship with the other teacher feel like? What are some, and I'm not saying this is you necessarily, although I'm sure you've had these experiences.
Yes.
What does that dynamic look like when you have multiple teachers now in a classroom?
Being a diverse learner teacher, going into a classroom can go either way. It could be a wonderful relationship where you are empowering each other, and I also refer to it as being like a married. You're married. It's like a married couple. Or it can go the other way where there is not much trust and you end up sitting in the back of the room watching the general education teacher teaching.
Wow. So I don't think I would want to be B and sit and watch someone teach all day. That doesn't sound very fun. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in our third tip about co-teaching when we talk about how you can really use the power of having another human being in your classroom to improve everyone. So we're going to get there. I do want to state to all of our listeners that I understand sometimes as a general classroom teacher, you may have a special education teacher or diverse learning teacher come into your classroom, and that relationship might be a difficult relationship. Maybe you two don't get along, you have clashing personalities, you know, whatever that may be. And I think that's a topic for like an entire other podcast. Today I want to talk about how you can build upon each other and really create a good relationship that's best for the kids. And we aren't going to go there with, let's say you get, you know, someone who's just not very nice to work with. We'll talk about that at a later date. So Christine, when I think back to my 10 years in the Chicago Public Schools, and you're starting to smile because I know you know what I'm going to bring up. I think the most proud moment in my entire teaching career was when we had those visitors come in.
Oh,
you're
yes.
shaking your head. Yes.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Let's share with the audience. So this is definitely the thing I'm probably the most proud of. So Christine and I were in teaching fifth grade. And we had our principal come to us and say, hey, listen, you guys are going to have some observers come and watch you. And Christine and I were used to people coming in and out of our classroom quite a bit. But this was a pretty special visit. Do you remember exactly who was there to observe us?
There were quite a few people there. I know for sure it was our principal. It was the head office from special ed through CPS. And I do believe there were people from the state observing special ed co-teaching classrooms.
And so, right, normally it'd be like, oh, this is a lot of pressure, this is a lot of pressure. And Christine and I looked at each other and we're like, let's do what we always do. Like, let's just be us. What do you like to call it when there's an observation coming and a teacher does, what is
that? Oh, the dog and pony show.
Oh, yeah, the dog and pony show. We're not going to pull out the dog and pony show for them. And we just kind of agreed, let's just do us. So we did. And I remember that we received a perfect score on that evaluation.
Yes, perfect score. Because they were grading us. They had a rubric that they followed. And they watched both you and I teaching. And there were certain things they were looking for. And at the end, we realized that we had a perfect score.
What? Do you remember the comment that made us, like, just jump up and down?
Yes. The best comment was that they could not tell from all the observers who the gen ed teacher was and who the special education teacher was. It was hard for them to figure it out based on our teaching and how we had equally set up our classroom.
And that was like pretty much the best moment in my teaching. And it was towards the end of my 10 years in the classroom. And I'm glad that we both remember it. We're both smiling at each other.
Yeah.
Like so giddy right now. But I've been excited to do this podcast episode because I want to share with all of you the power of good co-teaching and how it can really improve your classroom. And I'm extremely passionate about it. And I understand that some of you may be sitting there saying, well, I've been paired up with a teacher that's not so nice, not very interested. Maybe they're lazy. Maybe they're not a very nice person. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't really want to work with that person. Maybe they're difficult. I think that's an entirely different podcast, okay? We're going to focus today on when you get paired up with another teacher. And Christine and I are very different people. Christine, I would say you're probably more on the like shy introverted side. Yes. And I'm like a wild extrovert.
Yes.
But how we found common ground and were really able to maximize, you know, having a co-teaching situation. So should we get started?
Yes, let's get started.
Okay, so we're going to talk about how we started off the school year and set things up right. Then we're going to talk about how we built trust, not only between the two of us, but with the students in the classroom. And then finally talking about how our classroom models were enhanced by having many adults within the classroom.
Yes.
So let's get started. Let's talk about the beginning of the school year.
Yes. I think the beginning of the school year is the most important part of the beginning of a co-teaching relationship. In the beginning of the school year, I remember Carrie had introduced me as a fifth grade teacher. So I was not introduced as Mrs. Garcia, the special education teacher. I was just introduced as I'm a fifth grade teacher. I will be working with all of the students. I think at that time we had reading, writing, and math.
Yes.
I think I pushed into your classroom before. And that was the most important part for the students to realize that I was someone who was an equal partner in this classroom. I became part of the everyday routine. So for example, maybe Mrs. Conover was working with one small group and I was taking attendance. Or I was monitoring the students putting away their materials while Mrs. Conover was doing something else. So it became obvious to the students that I was this fifth grade teacher who would be coming into the classroom. And I think the most important part was we were very firm as to what our roles were. Would you like to share something that you would say to them if they kind of tried to go between the two of us?
Yes, yes. So I really loved, Christine, when they would play like the mom-dad thing with us. You know, when if any of you have kids out there, one kid asks the mom and the mom says no, and then they go ask the dad. So at the beginning of the year, they would try to pull that off on us, where they would ask me, because you were probably a little sweeter than I was.
No,
especially at the beginning.
No, you were dad and I was mom.
Yeah, and so they would come to, yeah, that's true. They would go to Mrs. Garcia and they would ask something and Miss Garcia would give them an answer.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they didn't like the answer that she gave. And so then they would come to me. And of course I had eyes in the back of my head. So sometimes I would observe this. And they would say, oh, Mrs. Conover, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Mrs. Garcia just answered that question for you. And they'd be like, yeah. I'm like, so what did she say? And then they would say X, Y, and Z. And I'd be like, so the answer is X, Y, and Z. Like,
exactly.
I don't even understand why you're asking me.
Yes.
And actually, I got kind of like feisty with them about it.
Yes,
like,
I love that.
It was like, come on. Like, don't waste my time, first of all. I'm a busy, I know you think teaching's easy, but I'm a busy woman here. I'm like, don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even try.
Yes. And so they really understood that. And sometimes the best is when they would come up to you and you knew what was happening and you would just turn away and walk away from them. Of like, we are not even going there with this conversation.
Yeah.
We are both equal partners and that's the way it's going to be.
And it's interesting because I'm sure there were times, I don't remember it because I just remember everything being perfect with you, but I'm sure there were times that you answered something in a way that I wouldn't have answered it, or you know, explain something in a way, in a different way than I explained it or whatever. But like, I would just go with what you said.
Exactly.
Because it was more important to me for the kids to see like the mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, for some of these kids, modeling a healthy friendship and relationship, there was this social emotional thing we were doing.
Yes.
You know, you would, I'm kind of going off here a little bit, but you would come into my room and be like, hey, babe.
Yes.
High five.
Yeah.
You know, I would make up some dumb dance in the front of the room for them to remember some rule about multiplication. And you were the one back there clapping the loudest, laughing at me.
Yes.
But I think about it. We were modeling friendship and how to have like a give-take relationship.
Yes. Positive relationships with each other.
Yeah.
We were role models and we didn't even know it.
I know. Darn, we're important.
Yeah.
But, you know, ask mom, ask dad, that kind of stuff. It went away pretty quick. I mean, don't you think?
Yes.
Like, it was, I think you were sharing with me what they were asking you, like, where do you go?
Yeah, like after I leave, they're like, where are you going? I said, well, I have other classrooms. They're like, but you're a fifth grade teacher. I don't understand. Why are you not here all day? I said, well, I have other classrooms that I have to go to. And they were just, had no idea.
Yeah.
And they remember the one time, one student walked past my classroom and said, why do you have this classroom? You're in Miss Conover's class. I said, no, I have my own space. And they were just surprised of like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They were just baffled by the fact that I was just not there solely for their classroom.
And that's the way I liked it.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to move in talking a little bit about trust. And I'm going to share something kind of personal. So when Christina and I were co-teaching, and at the time I think I had a student teacher and there was a paraprofessional in my classroom, but I unexpectedly lost my brother. Mm-hmm. And I found out about his passing like in the middle of the school day when we were at a grade level meeting. And it was very shocking and upsetting. And I didn't know it really when it was happening, but I didn't return to the classroom. And I think you had a student bring down my stuff and I left.
You did.
And I'm getting emotional thinking about it. But it was like, because we had built, I think that happened in like late October. But because we had built such an amazing working relationship and you knew my classroom so well, I could walk out and go take care of my family and have an appropriate grieving process because I knew leaving behind, you were going to take care of everything.
And I remember that's exactly what you said to me. You said, do what you need to do. You know the classroom. You know the kids. I trust whatever you're going to do. Don't. It's all on you.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with whatever you decide. Yeah. So I remember I was nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I've got all these kids in front of me. And I remember sorting your pens. Getting like, if I organize your pens, maybe things will get better. And I was so nervous about what to do. And I remember it was hard to have you out. But it was comforting knowing that I was taking care of the class. And when you came back, that everything would be the way it was when you left.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, again, I'm thinking about like, think about the lessons we taught those kids. I mean, they knew that my brother had passed away. And I remember, you know, they made me cards and all that really nice stuff. But think about how, you know, I had days and moments where they were tough after that. I was pretty honest with them. And you would come up and pick me up. And, you know, I think back, we really did model something pretty special for those kids.
Yes.
I bet they remember it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do.
So speaking of trust, let's talk about the trust of you with the students. Mm-hmm. How do you think, what were some of the things that you did, practical things that you did to gain trust with the students? So let's talk about working in learning centers, for instance. We did a ton of learning centers, right?
Yeah.
So I might have 4 or 5 learning centers set up in my classroom. I was running one.
Oh, yes.
3 were independent. And you were running another learning center. So let's talk about some of the things that happened in that learning center, which made you feel like the kids learned to trust you.
Okay, I think the most important piece of this is that when the students came to the station, the learning stations, I had already reviewed all of the lesson plans that Carrie had given to me. So right off the bat, I knew what the expectations were. I knew what the lessons were about. I knew what the outcome was. Besides that, I also looked at the lesson plans and decided if there was maybe a different graphic organizer, there was something that I had to modify, or something piece that I could put in to that lesson to make it easier for all the students to learn.
Yeah, I think because your skill set is about differentiation, what I loved is you were helping all the struggling learners in the class, or people you helped with extension stuff.
Yeah,
but and I think that was my strength was the really like extending.
That is yours. Yes, yes.
And like we made a good pair because you were really you knew how to help those kids that were just
they needed a little something
under the
else.
Radar. Yeah, yes. So you were able to differentiate on the spot and really help them and feel comfortable with you. You know, Christine, and it actually makes me think about. I think in the beginning. You know, teachers, we are controlling.
Yes.
We are controlling yes, by nature, right? And I think at the beginning, you know, I'm a pretty laid back person. My personality is pretty laid back. But when I was teaching, I wanted things done a certain way.
Right. Yes.
And so I think at the beginning, like I would plan centers and I might plan out what you were doing.
Yes.
And then I kind of sat back and watched to see how it would go, especially the first year we worked together. But then I quickly realized, like, man, I should have you plan the center. So I would come in here on my lunch break and bring my lunch, and we would sit down and said, hey, next year or next week, we're, you know, comparing fractions with unlike denominators. Mm-hmm. What do you think? This is going to be tough. And then you would say, oh, I have this. It let me. And then we would turn that into a center that you would grade.
Yes, I know. I grade the papers.
Oh, I
think
loved that.
everyone still laughs because that's one of my favorite things is to grade all of the students' papers.
Yeah.
And the reason I do it is because then I get to see how all the students are doing in class.
Yeah.
My goal is not just to service the students that I'm there, but to get a general idea of how everyone in the classroom is doing.
That probably helped you too to see like, oh, the whole class is struggling with this.
Yeah.
Definitely probably the students I'm servicing are going to struggle.
Yes.
I also loved it. Like, it was fun day Friday. I was getting them free time. We would grade papers together. Yes. And we had a lot of fun, but we would put on some music. Kids could play games. And we would look, oh, did you see? They totally didn't get this. We got to reteach that.
Yes. And then we knew what our next steps would be. Yeah. But we did it together.
And you helped me a lot. I remember there was one point when you were like, Carrie, I've got to tell you something really honest. Are you scared what's going to come out of my mouth right now?
Yes. Oh, I think I do know, because I still talk about this to this day, if it's the same thing.
Okay. So let's hope it is. But you said, I think you give too much.
Yes.
You're like, we've been working together long enough. I think you give a little too much homework. Yes. And I'm like, I didn't have kids at that time. Yeah. Or my kids were very young. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, are you serious? I said,
you give way too much homework. I'll never forget that. Yeah. I was afraid to tell you, but I knew I had to be honest.
And what happened?
And say, then you reduce the amount of homework that the kids receive.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you for that. And You're I'm welcome. Sorry for all my students, pre-Mrs. Garcia. Yeah. I was just trying to push them. Anyway, so let's talk about the trust between the two of us.
Okay.
You were telling me that you've been in situations where there hasn't been trust. Yes. What's that feeling?
I think that is the biggest and the hardest part, is trusting each other. That you trust the fact that I can do a good job. And that I know what I'm talking about. That I know what the standards are. That I know what your lesson objectives are. And that you can relinquish the trust and let me take over when we decide it's time for me to take over. I know there's been times where I've actually been co-teaching with teachers who I've been teaching probably 18 years more than the teacher I'm working with, and they still did not trust me. And so at first, and so finally I just had to be upfront and say, in order for this to work, we have to trust each other, and you have to trust that I'm going to do a good job. And that you can relinquish the control, and I can take over, and I can support the students equally as you would.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And us being control freaks, we've got to slowly let go and trust the adults in our room that are educated.
Yes.
I think it's one thing if you're talking about a paraprofessional that's in your room. Mm-hmm. I was always blessed to have great paraprofessionals, but so they had different skill sets. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, maybe when they were in there, they just needed to be by the student that they were there with.
Exactly.
Or sometimes I would switch. Remember Mr. Yes. Blake that was in a room and he was studying to be a teacher, really great. I would sit down in the seat next to the student that he was there to support. And I would be like, hey, teach this.
Exactly.
I mean, it was like multi-digit addition. He can handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But like, I'm sorry, if you are a diverse learning teacher, mm-hmm. you have a college degree, you might be a better teacher than even I am.
Exactly.
Like, I think that sometimes you just got to let go of the ego and realize, even if you're a really amazing teacher, everyone in your building has talents.
And there's something that everyone can add to any classroom.
Absolutely.
Which is very hard.
It is hard to let mm-hmm. that control go. I think with the pressure of testing and all of that, yes, but I will tell you, I mean, the way we work together, the test results skyrocketed in our classroom.
Because you have two teachers actually teaching lessons, which makes group sizes so much smaller.
Let's talk about this. So let's talk about the nitty gritty of it.
Okay.
So there was all types of teaching on the spectrum happening in the classroom. Yes. There were days that it was Monday and I was supposed to do a bunch of work over the weekend for planning, and I didn't do as much as I was supposed to, and I was ad-libbing here and there. And then there were days where we had everything planned to the T, right?
Exactly.
And of course, you're going to have good days, bad days. And I think one of the things you did is you never judged me.
No.
You were just like, okay, let's just make this happen.
Yeah.
Which you knew most of the time I was going to kind of have it together.
You did.
And the thing is I think about, what are some of the practical things we did? So some of the things we would do is we would split the class completely in half. I would do a mini lesson, and you would do a mini lesson.
Parallel teaching.
Parallel teaching.
Yeah.
And then we would flip.
Yes.
So we might be doing nonfiction text features in my group, mm-hmm. and you might be doing, you know, a really close reading in the other group of a fiction text, and then we would flip.
Yes.
And, like, how great is that for the kids that they don't have to listen to either one of us talk?
Talk the entire time. Exactly. And there's only how many? The max 15 kids in your group?
Yeah.
Instead of having 30?
Yeah. And then we would get really cool. Remember where we would do co-teaching, but we would have four groups.
Yes.
So then on day one, Mrs. Garcia would have group A and B, yeah. And A was doing, you know, her not her close read,
yes,
with the fiction text, and B was doing vocabulary independently exercise, mm-hmm, game or whatever, and then halfway through the class you would flip, so B would go to you.
Yes.
And then on the other side of the room I had C and D, so I was doing my nonfiction text features, mm-hmm, and D was doing this, and then we'd flip.
And we didn't even have a large room, so it's not that we needed this huge space for this to work.
Yeah, this building's like a 400,000 years old.
Exactly. And it's not big.
No. And we had like, yeah, we would utilize the like closet. We would open the closet. Yeah. But, I mean, then we got down to like, what, numbers of 7 or 8.
I know. And that was the best for all learners.
Yeah. What else did you love, like, when we would break the class up? Can you remember anything else that you really loved?
I think one of the most important things was when the one time you said to me in math class, you said, we're talking about, I forgot, I think it was actually fractions. And you said, and I was talking to you about my strategy, and our strategies were different because you were more of exactly what the book said. And I've been teaching for so many years that I always had like a little different way of doing things. And you said, okay, it was your turn to teach. And you said to me, no, go ahead, you teach it. And I still remember that.
Not in a mean way, like in
now
a good
you're
way,
like,
right?
Okay, you go for it. Go up there and teach it. And it wasn't even planned for me to teach the beginning of this lesson, but I was really strong in the way I wanted to teach it.
Yeah.
And you said, go ahead, go for it. And so I went up there and I taught the lesson, the mini lesson that I had to teach. And then after that, you taught your lesson the way you wanted to. I know what it was. It was comparing fractions.
Oh,
and you wanted to do this whole number line. And I was like, I'm not doing the whole number line thing. Forget it. And yeah. I remember. And so you had the confidence and you said, go for it. And yeah, it made me feel so good, yeah, to know that you were you trusted me to go up there and teach this whole class.
Yeah.
Not even knowing what I was going to really do.
Well, honestly, what was the worst thing that could happen?
Exactly. Right?
Like, you teach the wrong way. Yeah. I mean, that's probably not going to happen.
It's not.
Yeah. We did a ton of station rotation.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah.
A ton of it. And the beautiful thing is those independent centers, we had 4 eyes. Sometimes 8 adult eyes, depending on who was
looking
in and out of
them.
We did a lot of really cool stuff around help desks. Do you remember that? Do you want to talk about
that big project we did? What was the project you said again?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
They had to build a garden to scale, right?
Yes.
So they had to like look at all these plants and see how big they grew, and they had to make sure they had their spacing. But then they had to go to graph paper, and it was like a quarter of an inch, was like a foot. That was a hard project.
That was really hard.
How many erasers do you think we went through?
How many pieces of paper we went through? That was a hard assignment.
And this is what I love about us. We started that unit, and we were like, this is hard.
Yes.
This is hard.
Really hard.
They're going to get frustrated, and we are not going to give them the answer.
No, we can't. And we had all the kids doing it in the classroom. So it wasn't that, you know, my students did something different. They all participated in this lesson.
And we were like, this is going to be really hard. And even those kids that got everything like that struggled with that project.
They were so
remember?
Frustrated. Yes.
And we were like, look at all these pencil erasers. This is amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. And then we had our help desk where they would either go to you or myself. And we'd look over their plans, and they would be so frustrated when we said it wasn't correct. You got to look it over. And they were like, no, I did all this work, and I had all these pretty pictures. I said, nope, your plan is not correct. That was our best.
That unit.
That was good.
And the thing, you know what I thought, going back to this relationship and trust, like I think we worked at tables. I didn't have like a desk.
Yes.
But we were like on opposite corners of the classroom. And man, we were kind of smart aleck sometimes. And it was fifth grade. But during that lesson, they would come to us and we would be like, and you might say, oh, this is coming over. You call across the room.
Yeah.
Good old Isaiah. He got those petunias in the right place finally.
Yes.
And we knew how to kind of like, where the kids would look at each
and
other.
And they would love it.
Yes.
They would smile and
yes.
they would laugh because they were waiting to see what comments we would make to each
yeah.
other.
Yeah. I mean, it started off as just being this super professional relationship.
Yes.
And listen, what's at the base of every good relationship? Trust.
Trust.
And I think good friendships and relationships, you push each other.
You
tell each other when they're giving too much homework and you're wrong.
Yes.
Right? Or we would say, let's push the kids. I mean, it started as this professional relationship. But I think because you have trust and we were creative together and we had fun. We were at work.
We had so much fun at
work.
I didn't want to leave your class. I used to be all upset. I'm like, all the time I have to leave. And I would be so disappointed because I wanted to stay the entire day.
And that to me is, you know, when I think about that evaluation that we had, mm-hmm. like, yes. of course it felt great to get a good score.
Of course it does, no matter
but
what.
But the fact that they couldn't tell the difference between the two of us, I'm just so proud of that environment that we set up.
Yes.
Safe for the kids in this world where they don't always feel safe.
I know, it's so true.
And they got to watch a true friendship.
Yeah.
Form.
Exactly.
I know.
And two people getting along all day long.
Which a lot of kids, unfortunately, don't get to see that.
No.
Well, 21 years you've been teaching.
Yes, 21 and counting.
Are you going to make it another?
I don't know. I have to make it at least another 10.
Oh, you got that in the bag. You got that in the bag.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on here and talking about co-teaching.
And thank you. And I do miss co-teaching with you.
I do, too.
I do.
We were really good at
it. We were.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode and going back and reminiscing with Christine and I. I guess I want to end this with each of us giving a piece of advice. So I'm going to give advice to the general classroom teacher,
okay.
my one piece of advice if you're starting a new relationship with a co-teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to give it from the diverse learner
okay.
perspective. So I will start. You need to let go of the control and trust the other adult in your room and find their strengths. See what makes them happy and where they shine, and let them shine every single day in your class.
Exactly. And as a diverse learner teacher, I think my biggest thing is not to give up. That is a challenge, going into someone else's classroom. So go in, show them all the great qualities you have, and be honest. If you don't understand something, or if you want to do more, be honest and say, I'd like to participate and do more in this classroom.
Step up to the plate and
yep.
say, I'm here, I want to participate.
Yes, I want to be an equal part of this class.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you again for being on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you, Carrie.
Well, that's it for this week on Educators to Educators. Thank you to my dear co-teaching friend, Christine Garcia, for joining me on the podcast. Join us next week as we discuss a really important issue. Students experiencing homelessness. I can't wait to have you take a listen and hear your reaction. You can follow me on social media on Instagram, Educators2Educators. So Educators2Educators. You can also find me on Facebook. You can look on my website at conoverinnovativeconsulting.com. I really enjoy and appreciate you listening every week. If you like this podcast, please give us those 5 stars right there on your phone on the app or on Podbean. You can follow us. And until next time, my friends, keep on teaching on.